Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. After two rounds of voting today, before adjourning until 10 Eastern tonight, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy is optimistic about gaining votes from several conservative holdouts.
I think you saw we made some very good progress.
More from CBS's Nicole Killian.
14 Republicans flipped their votes for GOP leader Kevin McCarthy.
The Honorable Kevin McCarthy of the state of California has 214.
Even though he's still short, it's the most votes McCarthy managed to get all week after more than a dozen failed ballots.
A Virginia elementary teacher is seriously injured after being shot in school. CBS Evening News anchor Nora O'Donnell reports.
A female teacher was rushed to the hospital with life-threatening injuries, and a student, 6 years old, was taken into custody after the shooting at Richneck Elementary. Police say the shooting was not accidental, and they are investigating where the young boy got that handgun.
The L.A. Dodgers say Trevor Bauer is no longer part of their organization following accusations of domestic abuse. CBS's Steve Futterman.
Trevor Bauer has been with the L.A. Dodgers since 2021.
8 strikeouts for Trevor Bauer.
The accusations surfaced that same year. Even though Bauer has never been criminally charged, Major League Baseball ruled there was enough evidence to suspend him. Still, the Dodgers held on to Bauer. Now they say they will release him. It's unclear whether any other major league team will offer Bauer a contract. He says everything he did was consensual. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Legislation to improve access to water for Native American tribes in Arizona wins White House approval. CBS's Stephen Kaufman.
Three bills approved by President Joe Biden will allow three tribes in Arizona to have better access to water as an unrelenting drought continues to plague the Southwest. Impacted are the Hualapai tribe in the Grand Canyon, Colorado River Indian tribes, and the White Mountain Apache tribe. Tom Bruschatsky, director of the Arizona Department of Water Resources.
For the tribes, they're getting something beyond a piece of paper from a court, but money to actually put that water to use.
Bruschatsky says it's part of a larger strategy to help stabilize and protect the Colorado River. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Prescott, Arizona.
Southwest Airlines says the holiday meltdown due to a massive winter storm will cost up to $825 million. The airline says that it now expects to post a loss for the fourth quarter. Still, CEO Bob Jordan is hoping this won't impact customer loyalty.
We're making great progress by processing tens of thousands of refunds and reimbursements a day, and we will not let up until we have responded to every impacted customer.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The state and local tax burden in Wisconsin is the lowest it's ever been. That's according to a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Taxpayers still paid more than $35 billion in state and local taxes last year. The report says personal income taxes make up the biggest share, followed by sales taxes, then corporate income taxes. A judge finds enough evidence to send a Wisconsin Justice Department agent to trial. Mark Wagner is charged with shooting a man in Madison last February. Quadron Wilson was shot several times while being arrested on drug charges, but the investigation found Wilson didn't have a weapon. Wagner's actual trial date has not been scheduled. In sports, the Bucks host Charlotte tonight. Wisconsin plays Illinois and Marquette takes on Georgetown tomorrow. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty. and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com. The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.
And never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, interestingly enough, you got John Bolton, who on Good Morning Britain announced he's running for president. You got this guy, Derek Evans, who you may remember him. He live streamed himself on Facebook, cheering on the revolution in the Capitol back on this day in 2001. Ended up doing a little time in prison for his role in the riot. Well, he announced he's going to run. He's running for Congress in 2024. I guess he needs some money. But wouldn't it be interesting to see how this plays out? A criminal running for Congress might fit in with the 20 who are holding the country hostage at the moment. And down the road, going to hold the country hostage for the next 2 years. Oh, the fun and the entertainment. And here to share some thoughts on, well, Mr. Evans, and this day as well, I've asked my good friend Richard Jetta to come share some thoughts with us. Rich is the national spokesperson for No Dems Left Behind. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Anytime, my brother, anytime.
So, you're from West Virginia. This,
yep, I know him. I know him. He's an oxygen thief. This guy right here is the worst of the worst. This is a guy who won a House seat in West Virginia, and before he even got to sit in it, he lost it because he filmed himself storming the Capitol. This guy is an absolute joke. But hey, West Virginia has a knack for voting for the worst of the worst. So for all we know, he may be governor one day. But yeah, I can tell you, this guy, he's about as sharp as a marble.
But I find it interesting, you know, that, you know, on this day, on January 6th, you know, 2 years after his crimes, I'm running for Congress. What this tells me is there's no shame assigned to these criminals, that we haven't done a good enough job of holding these people accountable.
Well, it's, you know, it's also, it's where it's at. You know, West Virginia has went about as red as you can get. They absolutely think that Donald Trump is the second coming of Christ. I mean, Trump flags are their window curtains now, you know, replaced your rebel flags that were there. But I mean, that's how it's going. You know, does Carol Miller from West Virginia deserve to have an opponent? She does. She's going on her third consecutive, you know, time as being a member of the House of Representatives. She's done nothing for West Virginia. She's not pushed the first bill, not passed the first bill, not brought the first dime home. But make no mistake about it, she's already been caught on some of those, you know, construction projects that are fixing bridges and roads, standing in front of them, taking pictures, acting like she was the one that brought that money there, because that's what they do. Republicans lie, and she's a liar, and Derek is, you know, the guy's absolutely one of the dumbest of the dumb.
Yeah, but sadly, people are going to vote for them, and this is the weird moment that we're in this. It is a weird moment. But I wanted to get your thoughts on today, the anniversary. I mean, 2 years ago today. Go back to that day. What were your thoughts? I mean, you're someone who served this country in the military for more than 20 years. You're someone that flag means something to you. It means something to all of us. But as someone who's fought overseas, and someone who fought for that flag. What did it mean to you to see, you know, the people who tell us that they believe in the Constitution, they love the flag? What did it mean as they were stabbing policemen with the flag and carrying it, with the Confederate flag through the halls of our Capitol? What did that mean to you?
Let me tell you, when I first started seeing the violence start, my jaw hit the floor. I mean, I was like, is this really happening? Do we have people that are trying to storm the Capitol? And then, you watch them, they struck the American flag down and they replaced it with a Trump rag and they were hoisting it up, And then the next thing you see a rebel flag that is walking through the halls of Congress. We start hearing about the stories about people that are using, they're wiping fecal matter on the walls in Congress. And that right there tells you what little respect these people have and what poor upbringings these people have. It sickened me. It sickened me. And there was a time when I literally was thinking, are we going to lose our democracy? Are we going to sit here today and watch a dictatorship be established with Donald Trump refusing to, give in to a free and a peaceful transition of power? I was just beside myself. And then I'm hearing, hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence. Just, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
This is something that is going to be, this is going to be in the history books forever. Now, I'm sure the Republicans are going to do everything in their power to try to sugarcoat it. But the truth is that 100 years from now, this is going to be something that's going to be spoken about in history classes all across the country. People all over the world are going to be learning about what took place with the greatest country on earth that literally almost lost, its democracy because of people like Derek Evans, who thought that he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because once again, they're just not that smart.
I struggle with your assertion of almost lost, because I'm still not sure we haven't.
Well, I mean, I will tell you that earlier today I saw Glenn Kirshner, who has a show called Justice Matters, and he was talking about how Jack Smith has just brought on two more new lawyers that are highly experienced in corruption and things like that. And what he's saying is that, they have the evidence. So, what do you do? Donald Trump, there may have been a time when people thought we can't really go after Donald Trump because we could see melee all over the country. But I mean, understand that yesterday, I believe it was, Matt Gaetz nominated Donald Trump for the Speaker of the House, and he got one vote. One vote.
Yeah.
So that right there tells you that the Republicans in the House of Representatives are losing their fear of Donald Trump. They know that it's over for Donald Trump. And I think that for our country to succeed, I think that Merrick Garland knows it. I think that Jack Smith knows it. Donald Trump must be prosecuted. He has to be.
I can't keep putting my faith in an institution to save us. I can't keep putting my faith in Merrick Garland's and Robert Mueller's and
yeah.
Jack Smith's.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I'm still sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, we have to only be days away from an indictment. But once again, who knows? But that also says something. If the Department of Justice cannot do what is right and prosecute somebody who absolutely tried to steal our democracy from us, then I don't want to hear no more. I don't want to ever hear anybody again say, in America, nobody is above the law. Yes, they are. They are. If they're Donald Trump, they're above the law. If they're members of Congress and they commit insider trading, they get away with it. They're above the law. I mean, it's time that we start to see that, once again, nobody is above the law in this country. Because if there is a level and there's a line, the least they can do is lay it out and establish it for everybody so that we know. If you're a member of Congress, you can do anything you want and you're never going to get in trouble for it. But everybody else below that, you're going to go to prison.
Yeah, now I'm glad you brought up the stain on our history, because January 6, 2011 is going to be, you know, in 100 years, as you pointed out, it's going to be a stain on our history because, you know, one of the things that was always the proud moment was, you know, this bloodless transfer of power. You know, I've had people ask me about my favorite president, John Adams, because, you know, that was the first time we had an ideological shift in power that came at no cost of blood. That there was, you know, he left angrily, but he left. And Donald Trump and the Republicans, they have now undone that legacy, that history of peaceful transfers of power. So there is now a stain on the soul of this country because of that.
Yeah, you know, let me tell you, 9/11 will forever be known about, you know, the towers falling, our country being attacked. January 6th, our country was attacked too. Our country was attacked from within. And I understand, you know, to me, I mean, we know what loss was endured on September the 11th, 2001. But make no mistake about it, what took place on January 6th has its own level of pure just it literally we almost lost our country on that day from within. These are people who were preyed upon. You know, we got Fox News, OAN, Newsmax. We've got news agencies out there that literally will continue getting away with brainwashing people with pure stupidity to the point where they will go out and they will act on it. And they get away with it because we obviously don't have enough people in this country at that level that will bring back something like the Fairness Doctrine and hold these companies accountable for the things that they spew. You know, it hasn't stopped. Tucker Carlson is still Tucker Carlson. Laura Ingraham is still the same. Sean Hannity is still the same. They're going to continue. I hope that the Dominion voting systems can bring those people down. But the truth is, our country is allowing these people to get away with what they're doing. People were poisoned on January the 6th. Donald Trump knew what they were doing. They all did when they got those people to come down there. He knew that he was going to aim them at the Capitol and pull the trigger. And you know what they did? They're going to prison for it.
Yeah.
950 people have already been prosecuted for assaulting our Capitol. They're going to prison for years, some of them for decades. And yet the man that sent them to that Capitol has got nothing.
Yeah.
And it ain't just him. I want the enablers. I want the Josh Hawleys, Mr. Fist out there giving them all the big old, here you go, everybody. I want the Lindsey Grahams. I want the Marjorie Trainwreck Greens, the Lauren Boberts, the Matt Gaetz. I want them all.
I want the people who funded it. I said on the day that it happened, I want the money behind it. I want the Publix woman who gave Alex Jones $300,000 to rile people up and get them down there. I want the funding behind it. I want that exposed. And look, the January 6th committee hasn't even done that. And that's where, again, another failure of not exposing the moneyed interest in this. And I'm still hopeful, but I doubt that's going to happen.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, and once again, you know, it's not going to go over well if all these people go to prison and then the enablers and Donald Trump get away with it.
Right.
But I think the Department of Justice knows that. So, and I will tell you that I believe that Jack Smith, you know, he's received, you know, a trove of documents from the January 6th. You know, I'm hoping that Jack Smith turns out to be exactly what everybody has said him to be.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm hoping he is what everybody hoped that Robert Mueller was going to be, what Merrick Garland was going to be. I'm hoping he is all that and a slice of bread as well. But it comes back to us. We've got to be the ones that are talking to each other. We've got to be the ones that are saying we can't have this. And a moment ago, you brought up the Fairness Doctrine. Look, the right invested massively in media and infrastructure. They built the most powerful megaphone that this planet has ever seen. They have control of talk radio. They control cable news. They control online internet. They control digital media. They control all of this. And at the failure of the left, of Democrats, of anyone else to build similar infrastructure. So I don't know that we can have a Fairness Doctrine in this day and age. I don't know that you can put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, you may be right there, you know, but at the end of the day, we see, you know, January 6th is the perfect definition of what happens when you allow these companies to spew their garbage and prey on the poorly educated. You know, and that's just the way that it is. And a lot of these people, like I come, like, you know, we talked about Derek Evans. Make no mistake about it, Derek Evans will get a sizable amount of votes if he runs for Congress. There are still people in places like West Virginia, Eastern Kentucky, that still believe that Donald Trump was, it was stolen from him. You know, and I hate to say it, but when you have people in those areas that are able to spew the garbage that those people believe, they support it. I mean, they absolutely support it. And sadly, you know, there's not much we can do.
Yeah.
I believe that we must see Donald Trump prosecuted, because if we don't, then it's not going to stop. I mean, it's not going to stop.
No, I'm with you.
You don't like it this time? The next time when they actually breach the Capitol to the point where they take out members of Congress, you know, that's what could be next. And we can't let that happen.
Now, I wonder what would have happened had they grabbed a member of Congress.
Well, I think that Donald Trump and them, I believe wholeheartedly that that was their goal. I believe wholeheartedly that what Donald Trump wanted to do was to see at least one person, one member of Congress, lose their lives. Because then I believe Donald Trump would have then did what everybody was telling him to do anyway, which is call for martial law.
Right.
And then, you know, basically do exactly what Michael Flynn wanted to do. Now, I don't know if he would have also went ahead and said, let's seize these voting machines, which is what Michael Flynn wanted. But I'm telling you, I mean, we're in a rough spot. And, you know, the world is watching. The world is watching. And I'll tell you what, people in other places, in other countries, they don't get away with that kind of stuff.
No, and people are watching right now what's going on in Congress and looking at how dysfunctional we are. I mean, yeah, look at what's going on in the House.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, this could go on. Now, I gotcha. Kevin McCarthy flipped 14 votes. Doesn't matter. As long as there are six or more people that are still willing to say Jim Jordan or other, make no mistake about it, this can go on. And, you know, he may have flipped 13 or 14 people, but if those six or seven people, if they're really as solid as they're claiming to be, and if they're as solid as Matt Gaetz is saying they are, then make no mistake about it, we could sit here for months. And I am really glad that Hakeem Jeffries said, because there was people talking about, well, why don't six Democrats cross over and support Kevin McCarthy? And Hakeem Jeffries said, we're not going to play in their games. Let them fight their battles and look like a bunch of daggone knuckleheads. We're going to stay supporting. We're going to stay together. The Democrats are together. And that's it. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, you don't bail them out. You let them fight their infights.
That's right.
But I still believe McCarthy's going to be Speaker because he's basically given everything away that he could possibly give away. But we'll see. Rich, as always, I appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again real soon, my friend.
Thanks, my brother. Anytime.
Good stuff. Rich Ojeda, national spokesman for No Dem Left Behind. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back.
Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to therickSmithShow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at therickSmithShow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to see how the NRA is going to spin this one. Story today out of Virginia. Six-year-old kid, six-year-old elementary school student from Newport News, Virginia. Here's what was written by the AP. Shot and critically wounded a teacher at his school during what was described as an altercation inside a first grade classroom. The teacher, a woman in her 30s, suffered life-threatening injuries. 6 years old, brings a gun to school. Brings a gun, 6 years old. Now, what caught my attention was the superintendent. Now, I got to tell you, mind blown. How does a six-year-old get a gun? I mean, this if I'm writing this story, the first question is, where are the police? Why aren't the parents in handcuffs? Where'd the kid get the gun? Again, remember, I'm somebody who believes in accountability and responsibility. I'm not a gun grabber by any stretch of the imagination. I want you to have your gun, but you got to be responsible. Held accountable. Why, minutes after this happened, why the owner not shackled, taken away? How did this kid get a gun? 6 years old. How did a six-year-old get a gun? But the superintendent of the schools of Newport News, George Parker III, George Parker said, quote, mind blown by this. Today, our students got a lesson in gun violence and what guns can do to disrupt not only an educational environment, but also a family, a community. What? Disrupt an educational environment? Disrupt an educational, a gun? Really? Wow. You wonder why people don't want to go into education. You wonder why people don't want to go into teaching. A six-year-old brought a gun. An altercation in a first grade classroom. Now, details are very, limited. Clearly, because a six-year-old was involved with a gun. Explain to me how a six-year-old gets a gun. Now, again, we had this again, as over vacation, my son and I had lots of conversations, guns being one of them. And where I grew up, I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland, and I remember gun violence was something that happened. People got shot, usually people who got into arguments. Things happen. But back in those days, people just had six shooters and that was it. We didn't have, assault weapons in everybody's. I know they're not assault weapons, Rick. Not everyone had semi-automatic weapons with 100 round magazines around every corner. And I remember, people were a little more, a little more cautious with their guns. A six-year-old wasn't getting it. I don't know. Maybe I'm remembering things different. How does a six-year-old get it? And why are we not locking people up? So I'm waiting for the NRA to spin this in a way that doesn't allow for accountability and responsibility. I'm just waiting for it, because there's a point at which if common sense laws aren't going to do something about this, maybe we do need to have some legislation to move in a direction that does hold people accountable for when a six-year-old, and I know I keep hammering on this, but a six-year-old shouldn't be, I'm sorry, not, and I know I've seen the YouTube videos. Oh, isn't it cute? Look at the infant being posed with the gun. I've seen the Lauren Boebert videos and the Thomas Massey Christmas cards with the kids, holding the assault weapons. I've seen it. I've seen this infatuation with guns and this kind of fetishizing of guns. Sadly, this is what it gets us. You're being wrong, Rick. I don't know, man. It just seems, I don't know how a six-year-old gets a gun. I want to hear your thoughts, though. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quite just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. You miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Ours will be there as well. Make sure you share it with your friends and neighbors.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. The House reconvenes in a half hour for a 14th round of voting for Speaker. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy earlier gained the support of 14 GOP holdouts, but CBS's Scott McFarland reports.
Kevin McCarthy and his negotiators, his allies in his conference, will have to do some talking with those other six members, but a couple of them, especially Matt Gaetz of Florida and Bob Good of Virginia, have been unequivocal in saying they will not vote for Kevin McCarthy.
Police Chief Steve Drew in Newport News, Virginia, says a teacher is in critical condition after being shot by a six-year-old student.
There was a gunshot inside the school here at Richneck Elementary. We have an adult female, a teacher, who has been transported to a local hospital where she's undergoing treatment.
Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is $940 million. Economics professor Victor Matheson on your odds.
Winning the Powerball or the Mega Millions is like getting two hole-in-ones in a row when playing golf.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matmere with your headlines. Representative-elect Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin's 3rd District says he's concerned about the future of the Republican Party if 20 people are able to stop them from appointing a Speaker of the House. After 11 rounds of voting, Kevin McCarthy still doesn't have enough votes. The group of Republicans blocking McCarthy from the position as Speaker say it's because he's not conservative enough. Until a Speaker is chosen, no work in the House can be done. Members-elect can't do anything until they're sworn in. Another round of voting is expected today. Wisconsin Republicans want to strip Democratic Governor Tony Evers from having sole authority over how to spend federal money. They're hoping to include a constitutional amendment on the April ballot, which would require spending be approved by the GOP-led legislature. The measure was introduced in January of last year. It passed the Assembly and Senate in the last session. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it on the dance floor. Let's do it while we can. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
...to put blinders on young people's natural curiosity.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I still, again, I find it amazing. Only one Republican showed up to the event in the Capitol, remembering the anniversary of January 6th, Brian Fitzpatrick from Philadelphia. Only one. Just one. Given what we're seeing with the clown show in the House, are we surprised by any of that? And I haven't heard one of them yet condemn the violence that happened 2 years ago today. Sad stuff. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, this anniversary and also the Republican House Clown Show. I've asked our good friend, former Ohio Congressman Bob Ney to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
So 2 years ago today, we were having this conversation on, you know, what happened on this day. Any reflections back?
Well, you know, the fact that nobody showed up in the Senate, well, one person showed up, is quite amazing, because I served 11 years in the Capitol. And deep in the hearts of those members on the Republican side that served there, the vast majority of them that day, well, we know actually that day, Kevin McCarthy, his comments calling Trump, you know, saying do something, et cetera. But in their hearts, they have to know that institution was invaded, people died. They have to know that the very, you know, sanctity of the building, the process, because that's what the process takes part in there to, you know, certify the president. And for them to not, you know, have somewhere in their hearts some feelings absolutely amazes me. It really does. It amazes me.
Yeah, I look at what's going on right now, and you've got these 20, and now I guess down to just a handful of Republican legislators who, you know, I now get concerned about, you know, the House and future elections, and there's a lot of things coming up that, you know, in past years we as a country have never had to think about, but yet here we are in this moment.
Well, we are, because now so many concessions have been given away. In fact, I don't know, if I was out there and I was a McCarthy supporter, if he continues on, I might go against him myself, because there's not going to be anything left. Yep. Can I give you, Rick, one scenario, just one, which is of all the ones we could talk about, but let's say that an immigration reform bill goes through the system, and that reform bill is something that is a balance. And Democrats and Republicans, the vast majority of them on each side, say, okay, we've got a deal. The Dreamers are in there, some border security, whatever. And finally, after all these decades, a bill is coming forth. So one person goes to the Speaker, McCarthy, and says, I want to do the Miller approach. That was the guy that worked for Trump. I want to ban legal immigration. I want to ban legal migration to this country. So I want you to do that, Speaker. I want you to stop this bill. And the Speaker says no. That member goes to the floor. They call for the vote. So what happens instead of the public policy debate is all day long about the Speaker. The next day, guess what? Somebody else does it. So the legislation vanishes eventually, obviously. I just picked one aspect. It could be education. It could be the budget. It could be anything. But that is what, seriously, Rick, could happen due to this scenario, the rules package, et cetera. McCarthy's getting closer. I think it would be a fascinating situation if he becomes the Speaker, they swear everybody in, and about seven or eight moderate Republicans say, I'm going to go with the Democrats and vote the rules package down.
Explain that.
Because five more days.
Because here, explain that for yeah. everyone. Because, sure. You know, McCarthy is selling his soul and has been.
Everything.
I don't know that there's anything left for him to sell. You know, last night I got a couple of emails of angry people at me going, you know, Kevin McCarthy wouldn't give up his daughters. I don't know. Maybe he would. But he's selling off his soul. He's selling off everything. And look, even Matt Gaetz, who said he was never going to vote for him, and now looks like he probably will, even he's saying the guy is soulless. Let's say he gets it. He's given everything away. What's left?
Well, the institution is stripped. Just of what's happened so far, it's stripped. And people have said to me, well, you know, Bob, isn't it just more of a democratic process? No, it's not. Because it's a hostage process. And I will tell you something, too. And I've told this to a couple of members in the last couple of days I've communicated with. I'm getting Facebook, Messenger, phone calls, emails from conservative Republicans who aren't saying, oh, this is intriguing. Isn't this exhilarating? They're saying, this is wrong. This is dysfunctional. That's coming from conservative citizen, yeah. Republicans.
It's a disaster.
So they even realize that the system is now screwed, it's pulled apart. And so McCarthy has made it to the point where it's almost going to be unattainable to pass any piece of legislation, I think you would say.
Yeah.
But the way this process works, he becomes the speaker, the member elects are sworn in, and then they have to vote on a rules package. That rules package is how the committees are run, how the House is run, the rules of the House, how you make a motion, you know, et cetera, everything in that rules package. Just like the Senate, they have that stupid cloture rule, but, you know, it's there in their rules package. So let's say McCarthy's the speaker, he bangs the gavel, says rules package, and all of a sudden seven Republicans say, I don't like that. I don't think I like that rules package. And they vote, because the Democrats aren't going to vote for it. Why would you want to support something that completely disrupts the floor, even though politically it'd be nice, basically, for the Democrats to say, yeah, okay, let's vote for that rules package, see how they function. But I think more the Democrats will try to stand up for the process, all right, than do that.
Right.
But seven or so Republicans could vote with the Democrats, and the rules go down.
So just to frame that,
everything, craft a new rule.
This could give McCarthy his soul back. Everything that he's trading away, he's giving my congressman Scott, pardon me, Perry, Matt Gaetz, he's giving away to all these people in the rules package. They could undo all this stuff after the fact.
Correct, and then McCarthy will say, "Do you want the Democrats to write the rules package, or do we write the rules package?" And we're going to have to write one that's going to work for everybody. And that's his opportunity to say, "Hey, I gave you everything you wanted, but we don't have the votes."
So is that a simple majority vote, or does it have to get to the 218?
218 would put the package in motion or not. Right. It would have to get to 218.
Well, I mean, like, we're seeing all these votes. Like, you know, Hakeem Jeffries had 212, and he had 200.
So I say seven, you see. He had 212, add seven, that's 219, one vote to spare. You never want to be the vote. You don't want to be the 28. You want to, okay, you don't want to be the vote. If you're a Democrat or a Republican,
right.
You don't want to be the vote.
No, so this could be an interesting thing. The question is do you think McCarthy is, well, conniving enough to think this way?
If I were McCarthy, the scenario I just stated, I would be saying, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And then as soon as it happens, he turns to the staff and goes, okay, bulletproof vests are off. We dodged one. Seriously, it would be the best thing. But beyond McCarthy taking him, it would be the best thing for the institution.
No.
That's why technically Machiavellian-wise, political-wise, the Democrats ought to just sit back and say, oh, yeah, go ahead with your rules package. But they know it completely disrupts the entire process, basically for 2 years.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Bob. Is anything positive going to get done in these 2 years? I keep coming back to this. There's a part of me, and again, this is the, you know, the cynical part, the jaded part that says, you know what, the country needs to see the Republicans out front doing what they want to do. Look, these people want to shoot the hostage. This debt ceiling thing that keeps popping up, and we've been talking about this for years. They're always putting their hand near the hot stuff. I think these people want to slap their hand. They want to shoot the hostage. They want to see what happens when we default and what happens to the global economy. I truly believe that there are people who are negotiating this right now who want to see a global collapse.
Well, these 20 have districts that it doesn't, as long as they fight the system, it doesn't matter, you know, what they do. I thought there was a missed opportunity for the nation today. The Democrats could have handed the nation a gift. Matt Gaetz said if the Democrats reached out and created a speaker, he would quit.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that not worth it?
I've thought of this, and I was thinking about this today. I'm going, you know what, the Justice Department eventually is going to probably take him out in handcuffs at some point anyway.
Right.
But if you get rid of him, he's the devil I know. He's a doofus. He's the devil I know. You get someone worse in a district like he's from, with a district of people who will vote for him, they will certainly vote for someone worse.
Right, and that was the original statement. You know, you were talking about the fact that, you know, they have these districts that it doesn't matter what they do. So you can take four or five of them and they can disrupt the entire system and it simply won't matter. And that's why the rules package, which probably will stay intact, is going to be the silver bullet. Look, there is no way, unless this all ends, McCarthy, which I think will become speaker, because he might sell off somebody in the family. But once this ends, then they need to close the door. This is what fantasy would happen. They need to close the door and say, okay, the Democrats are just waiting for us to fail. If we fight each other, if we make the circular firing squad, Joe Biden is reelected, we lose the House. You know what? There's 20 people that don't care.
Yep.
They don't care.
And the
they're
thing is
down with the ship.
And the thing is they're raising tons of money off of it. I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten from these, the Jim Jordans, the Matt Gaetz, all of them going, hey, you know, we're standing up for you. We're fighting for you. How did he put it? You know, we're draining the swamp. You know, you can't drain the swamp when you put the biggest alligator like Kevin McCarthy in there. So I get this email from Gaetz saying, you know, McCarthy's the biggest alligator. And then you find out he's probably going to vote for him anyway, which is, you know, again, kind of amazing to me.
Well, it's been political theater, but it's unfortunately bad history political theater because you know, they win a slim majority, but they win. And then all of this happens. Yeah. And it's now gone to the point internally, and I know this from friends up on Capitol Hill in the last 2 days, internally, the hate factor, the anger factor, it's not going to be cured in a week or a month or by everybody saying, rah, rah, let's get behind things, because the 20 are going to want other members of the conference to get behind things that they can't get behind.
And this is where the big piece of all this is this debt ceiling thing. I keep coming back to this, and we've, again, talked about this for years. This is something that they've, you know, this is the, you know, the nuclear bomb that they've wanted to drop. They've been itching to drop. And I believe these people truly, they want this power to be able to force McCarthy into, if they don't get their, not just a pound of flesh, but, you know, a couple hundred pounds of flesh, they're going to touch the hot thing. And, right. And I don't think they would, I don't think they lose anything by it happening.
Well, they don't. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand the debt ceiling. They just think of it as a spending measure when the actual true, let's take this from a conservative point of view. The actual true conservative fight and vote is the budget resolution, which right. sets the parameter for the 13 bills that are supposed to happen but haven't happened for 17 years by either side, I would note. But it sets the parameter of the 13 bills. Then you go fight each bill as it comes to the floor, labor, HHS, you have health and human services, EPA, et cetera. You do your fight per bill, amendment by amendment, line by line, and you do that. Then eventually 13 bills pass, they go to the Senate, they do the same measure, and then the president signs something. Now, that's the process. What is happening here is, well, we'll kick the can forward. The Republicans get a little bit of defense spending. The Democrats get a little bit of, domestic spending. And we kick the can forward. Now, once they do that, which they know was not the really right process for the, quote, conservatives, then they come back and say, well, we'll stop it with the debt ceiling. No, it already, the train's running down the track.
Yep.
You know, now you're trying to take it backwards. So the debt ceiling, I used to call it the yawn vote. You somebody thumped their chest, you put your voting card in, you yawned, you went to dinner. That was the yawn vote. And when Obama became president, it became the end of the world vote.
And it's going to get worse. I mean, this is the thing. And, you know, a couple of days ago, we talked about Ro Khanna saying, look, we'll support something maybe if you take this off the table. And you go, okay, well, if you take that off the table, I got to wonder where they're gonna lead us next. It's strange. And you brought up defense spending. You know, Republicans used to be all on board. Evidently, one of the parts of the deal that that McCarthy is, I guess, given up is they're talking about $75 billion in defense cut spendings. I'm like, I don't ever remember Republicans going, hey, let's cut defense spending.
Well, they'll try to make the Pentagon, you know, the toilets and $16,000 toilets or whatever. They'll do that somewhere along there.
There you go. You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Bob Nay, former Ohio congressman, political analyst, and good friend of the show. Also, make sure you check out our podcast. If you miss any portion of the program, never miss a moment of Bob. I want to get your thoughts on Michigan. Evidently, they're reopening the case against the fake electors. You know, when we were on our Working Class Heroes tour, we sat down with Dana Nessel, the attorney general there. And, she said this was something that they were going to look at, because I still can't believe none of these people are behind bars. Any thoughts on the fake elector stuff?
Well, I think that Georgia is also going to bring out a lot of information. The Georgia investigation is going to bring out information. But the fact that somebody actually set up a system, which I think one of the people said, well, we were kidding. No, when somebody sets up a system to try to, come in with a set of fake electors, which they might call alternative electors, but it's not the process, fake electors, then it becomes the interference in election. It becomes a criminal action.
Yeah. If I show up to the bank with...
I think Georgia's going to show some of this, too, with their investigation.
If I show up to the bank with a squirt gun and a note that says, give me all your money, can I say it was just a joke?
I'm just kidding, right.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
Right. So the fake electors is a big deal, because there is evidence through the January 6th committee that shows where people had said, well, we'll put this guy in, we'll fire Barr as attorney general, put the other guy in, then he'll call states and say, well, I want you to redo your electoral system, the Justice Department stepping in, and then they would come up with these pre-planned electors. So I think there's a little bit more to it than some crazy people got together and said, we're going to be electors. I think there was something in the wings, because somebody somewhere within the system, the White House, communicated and said, hey, let's go for it. I will bet you they're going to find a link.
I hope so. Look, I hope they should be locking people up as we speak. Because if it were you or me,
of an election.
Like you said, if you smashed a window at the post office, try and usurp democracy. Well, we'll take our time. Last thoughts. Senate in 2024, Stabenow is evidently retiring. You've got Dianne Feinstein, who possibly, I don't know, is she going to run again? I know Katie Porter is talking about launching a Senate bid.
I served with Strom Thurmond. So, yes, people run. And run.
Yeah. Well, Strom was 100 when he left.
Walking around the building, but they run, okay?
And if you look at, if you followed Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz, they get lost around the building.
Exactly. It's going to be let me just say, technically, it's going to be a tough run for the Democratic side with the elections for the Senate. I'm going to say technically, because it was a rough run for the House side, and we know how that turned out. So they're going to have to really focus on, who's running the replacements. Look, the Democrats did a wonderful job on, the candidate recruitment. The Republicans, Trump interfered, all five House races were lost. We know what happened in the Senate races. But on the Democratic side, they're going to have to put aside differences of philosophy or who's more to the left or centrist, et cetera, and get the best candidates. Because, yes, with Stabenow stepping out, and who knows with Feinstein and maybe one or two others, the numbers are not technically on the Democratic side. So they're going to have to be very smart about several things. Candidate recruitment, supporting the candidates as a whole and not getting into an inter-party battle. Because obviously we know it's important who they vote for leader of the Senate. And then the grassroots. I know money, but the grassroots. Get the vote out. You got to get the vote out.
California is going to be interesting to watch. See who look, Feinstein's got to go at some point. I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff, my friend.
Thank you.
Good stuff, our good friend Bob Ney. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year 1878, celebrated as the birthday of renowned Illinois poet Carl Sandburg, the youngest of three children born to Clara and August Sandburg, Swedish immigrants in Galesburg, Illinois. Carl Sandburg worked as an editorial writer at the Chicago Daily News.
He was part of a group of poets and novelists known as the Chicago Literary Renaissance. Sandberg became most well known for his poetry, for which he won 2 Pulitzer Prizes. He also won a 3rd Pulitzer Prize for his biography of his hero, Abraham Lincoln. Sandberg's poems often evoked images and explored themes of the industrialized United States. This was especially true of his 1920 volume, Smoke and Steel. In this collection, Sandberg wrote about workers in Gary, Indiana, and farmers around Omaha, Nebraska. He wrote about railroad workers and steel workers. His words instilled unexpected beauty in these industrial scenes. Sandberg wrote in free verse, a style that did not rhyme. He used accessible language in his poems, making them available to the common man. He would take short tours around the United States, reading his poems and playing folk songs on his guitar. His poems gained a wide popular readership. The opening lines of his poem, Chicago, so captured the workers and the spirit of the city that these words remain indelibly entwined in the city's image to this day. Hog butcher for the world, tool maker, stacker of wheat, player with railroads and the nation's freight handler. Stormy, husky, brawling, city of big shoulders. To commemorate the 100th anniversary of his birth, the United States Postal Service issued a stamp in his honor. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So Debbie Stabenow, senator from Michigan, has announced she's going to be retiring at the end of her term, 2024. She is not going to seek re-election. That means going to be an interesting fight to see who holds on to that seat. The Cook Report, they're saying, leaning Democratic. And you look at Michigan, I mean, the last election, whoa, good on the state, good on the folks in Michigan, basically swept every statewide office and really, you know, in huge ways, reclaimed it as a blue state. When we went through on our Working Class Heroes tour, one of the things I kept talking to people about is, you know, when you take this back, you've got to make things better. You've got to do things right away. And one of the things, and I'm pointing at this right now, my friends in Michigan, while you've swept all these offices and you've done all this stuff, you have to make Michigan a collective bargaining state. You have to undo the horrible no rights at work agenda that was passed back in 2012 in the lame duck, like thieves in the night. You have to undo that, restore collective bargaining rights to working people, and show that Democrats are willing to stand up and fight and make things better. And because Virginia didn't do this. Virginia, very angry at you. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to show leadership on workers' issues. This is an opportunity to reclaim part of the working class. And this is something, again, I think Joe Biden is trying to do. He's reaching out to working class voters, rural working class voters. Why else would you go to Kentucky and say, hey, we're bringing billions of dollars in investments into a state that's probably never going to vote for a Democrat? But it's about making people's lives better. It's about making the lives of workers better. Good on him. Also, there's talk, California, Katie Porter. I love her whiteboards. She's evidently weighing the thought of launching a Senate bid for Dianne Feinstein's seat. Not sure if Feinstein's going to announce if she's running again in 2024. I hope not. And this is where my friends who go, we need term limits. You go, yeah, we've got term limits. It's called voting. People vote. I have the ultimate term limiter. If we just used it better. Just my thoughts. I want to hear yours, though. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you download the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcasts, you will find ours, from iTunes to iHeart, to Stitcher to Podbean, everywhere in between. There we are. It's great to be back. Enjoyed vacation immensely. Thanks for all the people chiming in with the well wishes and the good thoughts.
This is going to be an interesting, fun, exciting, and probably a little depressing year, but we're going to get through it. You, me, us, together. Thanks for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.